During your internet browsing or weekly podcast downloading binge, you have stumbled upon the DC Breeze's Hot Air Podcast. The DC Breeze is a professional ultimate team playing in the AUDL representing Washington, D.C. My name is Greg Esser, and I am the host of that show. And this is episode 4 of the 2016 season. A lot has happened in the two-ish short weeks since the last podcast. The whole league, the AUDL, had its opening weekend. A lot of exciting things happened. Some of the ones that really struck me as noteworthy were the Dallas Roughnecks played the Austin Soul, two new teams in the league. Dallas Roughnecks came away that one as the victor, two expansion teams, so super exciting to see them play their first game, and congratulations to the Dallas Roughnecks for winning their first game in franchise history. The other exciting thing I saw when I started perusing the scores and looking at some of the clips online was that the San Francisco Flamethrowers went on a two-day road trip to Southern California and came away with two overtime wins against Los Angeles, against San Diego. So super exciting games. If you get a chance to check out some of those clips online, they're certainly worth your while. The Eastern Division, which includes, of course, the DC Breeze, kicks off its schedule this weekend. The Breeze opening day is on April 10th. They will play against the Ottawa Outlaws. On the backside of the Ottawa Outlaws, two-day road trip the previous night, Saturday, April 9th, Outlaws will play against New York Empire in New York. Exciting to see how that two-game trip goes for Ottawa. Exciting to show up at Gallaudet and see that Breeze game. That game is at 1:30. There's already great halftime entertainment in the works, as well as beer garden, food, all the exciting things. That opening music, as well as a halftime show, will be played by a local band, the Radiographers. So lots of exciting things happening on that opening day. Other things I wanted to say, I guess really just to preview this episode, I sit down with John Agan, Breeze rookie this year, not a rookie to Ultimate by any means. He's been playing for DC's top amateur team, Truck Stop, since 2008. I think saved just 1 year, he maybe took a little hiatus, but so very seasoned player, making an AUDL debut this year, so super exciting to see him in the Stars and Stripes. And him and I are going to talk a lot about his on-the-field as well as off-the-field strengths, some of his approaches to the tryout process this year, very competitive tryout process for the DC Breeze. We also talk a little bit about some of the strategies we expect to be deployed around the Eastern Division against various opponents as well as against the Breeze. So before I begin here, I just want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsors, Wayborn Sunglasses, WAFC, Washington Area Frisbee Club, Papa John's Pizza, Rose Physical Therapy Group, The Big Board, Oak Creek Apparel. Thank you all for making this season possible. Thanks to fans. Hope to see you out this Sunday. And all that said, I'm going to throw it over to Brooke Royals to play us in. Welcome to Hot Air. So I'm sitting here with John Agan and a newly minted member of the DC Breeze. This will be his rookie season, although he is far from a rookie to competitive and professional ultimate for that matter. How many years have you had on Truck Stop?
First year was in 2007.
Okay.
So one year off. But
so math experts, get back to us on that.
We'll let the people do the math at home.
Perfect. Well, cool. So yeah, so I'm sitting here, special pleasure, our guest this week here on Hot Air. And I'm going to dive right into, I think, what's a pretty ambitious agenda. I want to talk about some of the tryout stuff you've been through over the past month. I want to talk about some of what you see your role on the team and maybe what you speculate your role could be this season if people are playing Fantasy Ultimate in their homes. I want to talk about some of the division previews. I want to talk about some of those other 8 guys that got named to the roster. I'm ambitious, but we'll see how much we get through here.
Sounds great.
Cool. And let me lay just one ground rule.
Okay.
For the Hot Air podcast. And that is, if you can work in a pun of any type, I'll take it. But particularly, I'd be interested in a breeze or wind-related pun. So, bellows it out. I've been working on that one in my house.
Okay.
What I've heard as well is, I heard this from Alan Kulik and Markham Schaffner, is Truck Stop and the group of guys that are increasingly, dual players on both Truck Stop and now the Breeze, make a superlatives list at the end of every Truck Stop season.
You've heard this as well?
I have, yes.
And they claim that characters, I'm not sure anymore, I think Pryle might be on the, well, guest last week, friend of the Hot Air podcast, might be on this all-wit team list. Are you also on the witty team list?
The all-witty team, I think.
All-witty team?
I have heard of
it. It's not
that.
A very witty name for such a list.
The wit may be saved for other purposes. One thing I would say about my understanding of the all-witty team is that part of being on the team is not being too braggy about being on it, and rather just letting your wit show in other ways.
Oh.
So I have heard of it, but I guess I would leave it at that.
Sure. So it's a little bit of a spoiler here that I've come out and like very publicly talked about. It's a fight club of the ultimate world.
But I would say the all-witty team, it's not surprising to me that you heard from Alan and Markham, because I would say they both have great wit.
Okay. Well, so what is your... Are there other superlatives assigned to truck stop players?
I think there are. Some of them are more formal than others. If I had to guess at what my superlative would be, it would probably be the biggest sideline loudmouth.
Okay, is that a angry loudmouth or a positive or some of both?
I try to keep it as positive as possible, and that's been something I've tried to kind of develop as a part of my being a teammate over the years. So trying to be supportive, try to give strategic advice on the sidelines while folks are on the field, and then be supportive as players are coming off the field.
All right, so given that that is your strength, that sideline spirited contribution, I'm going to give you an example of me maybe failing in some dimension on the field. And let's see, this has never been done before, you know, what you could bring to cheer me up so I wouldn't make a similar mistake in the future.
All right, let me just get in my sideline mentality here for a moment. Okay, go ahead.
Whew, you look fierce right now. So, okay, I am making an in-cut when I suddenly produce two large Papa John's pizza and start eating them as opposed to catching the disc. I drop that disc, the defender, once the defender on me, who has now caught my dropped pass, cuts deep and scores. A lot of variables, including our sponsor, Papa John's Pizza.
Right. Well, so first of all, I'm sure the pizzas are delicious. What toppings do they have on them?
Just yeah, so one's obviously Meat Lover's Delight, if that's a real flavor
obviously,
of pizza.
Right.
And then the other one's actually just a plain pizza.
Got it. And you're eating them both at the same time, or do you just
yeah,
holding both?
I actually have somehow managed to get my left foot into the action of eating the pizza.
Right, right.
As well as both hands, obviously.
Gotcha. And then you have left your mark
left
completely.
I've left, so upon coming on offense, or rather defense, when I become defense, I have left the mark entirely.
Right.
Yeah, in favor of the pizzas.
Right. So Greg, first I would say, I guess, you know, love your commitment to our great sponsors that help make the DC Breeze happen.
I'm feeling good after that initial feedback.
And I love the fact that you are eating pizza didn't keep you from getting on the field and at least attempting to make some kind of impact.
Right.
But that being said, maybe leave that on the sideline at this moment. And at this point, probably...
Parse my interests.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably as far as I would be able to get, frankly, before Dutchie or one of the coaching staff would come over and maybe more directly tell you ways to improve your performance.
Yeah, but actually, even though I was eating pizzas, it was a little bit of like the compliment sandwich they talk about where you were like,
right.
I love that you love pizzas.
Right.
Maybe, you know, next time think about not eating pizzas while playing Frisbee. And then you actually, at the end... Well, so actually...
Yeah, so
I need one more compliment on the way out.
Yeah, so I think we'd phrase something in terms of, you know, I've seen you play Great Ultimate, and almost every time you've done that, you haven't been simultaneously eating two pizzas.
Sure.
And so really want to reinforce that you play your best, and you're the best for this team when you're not trying to eat two Papa John's pizzas at the same time.
Good. I think, yeah, wow. You have this skill set in spades. That was amazing.
Thank you. That was... tough one to get through, but thanks for offering.
Yeah, a novel circumstance,
yeah.
For sure. So there's your superlative. One thing I want to talk about, and I talked about it a little bit 2 weeks ago with Peter on the podcast, was about your mentality in tryouts. But the advantage you have over Peter in this conversation is I want you to talk about how you approach tryouts, but also how were Breeze tryouts this year? Because you went through this, you know, somewhat two-a-day grueling weekends the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Right. It was, I think, a pretty intense process. And I will say, you know, as you mentioned, I've been playing club and pro for a number of years, but I have to admit, I still get nervous during the tryout process.
Okay.
I think it's always, you know, you start at the beginning of the year, whatever you think you've done to prepare, weightlifting, throwing, whatever, over the off season, you know, you can use that to have some confidence, but it's always a little nerve-wracking to get out there, get on the field, and kind of be in a scenario where you have a lot of guys that are hopefully going to be teammates and supporting each other, but you know, at the same time, they're fighting for spots on a top team.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about kind of. So I think there's a lot of people that are gearing up for the club season right now. Talk about your mentality then going into very specifically this year's Breeze tryouts.
Sure. I mean, I think it's always helpful to have a sense, you know, and this was certainly true with the Breeze, that a number of players had already been signed, so you could kind of get a feel for what the strengths of the team already were and where you might fit in on that team.
Yeah, that's an interesting dimension.
And I think it's probably true in a lot of club teams also. You have some form of leadership. You have a number of people who are coming back from previous years that if you know they've been stars on the team, you know, it's very likely they're going to make the roster again. And then you can start to think about where you might fit in as a, you know, filling a gap that team.
Yeah, so you see a team in the Breeze that's already signed Bob Liu, that's already signed Kolek, that's already signed Brett Matsuka, and you say, I don't need to be a backfield scuba guy.
That's right. They're not going to need me to throw a lot of break throws or big hucks or anything like that.
Sure. Okay.
So I think that's a big first step.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That kind of identification of where the gaps are and what will play to the coaches.
Right.
So I think that's that part of the equation then for this next question. But I'm going to keep asking questions anyhow. Because that's what I do. tell me then, versus a typical year kind of trying out for Truck, you know, you were trying out for at least two all-new coaches that you've never worked with before.
Right.
But tell me how a Dutchy, Ito, Lopresti tryout is, you know, structured.
Right. So I think, you know, one of the big things that was really helpful was at the very beginning of the first tryout this spring, Dutchie, you know, kind of laid out very clearly several of the things that he was looking for. And I think that certainly was driven by the players that they had already signed, but then also gave some insight into what kind of team he was looking for. So, you know, some pretty generic things, hardworking, supportive, you know, actively engaged all the time. Something I was hoping to showcase in the tryouts.
Good.
And so, you know, that was a big boost. And, you know, I think Sarah and Mike, both very accomplished, have great resumes, both as players and coaches. And so, you know, having some level of trust in that, you know, they were going to be able to kind of look for the qualities that Dutchie had described, gave a real good blueprint, if you will, for what you needed to do to distinguish yourself during the tryout.
Got it. Interesting. So do you have any wise words for someone that's showing up to their first club tryout this year, looking to make a team? And then I heard it already a little bit, but maybe some other wise words for a young player?
Sure. Two more things. I mean, I think especially a young player, you know, you've got some experience and maybe playing a club for the first time is a big change, and you're going to see players that can do things much better than maybe you've experienced in college. So I think really have an idea of, you know, what it is that you think you will offer the team, you know, two or three elite things that you can offer. If you are young and maybe athleticism is your thing and you need to learn certain other parts of the game, you know, make sure you're showcasing that big strength you have. And, you know, if there are parts of it you need to learn, whatever communications you have with the captains or decision makers, you know, be very open about that and say, this is where I know I need to improve, and this is what I want to do on this team. Because I think that kind of honesty is important, and you don't want to try to be something you're not and do things that you aren't comfortable doing on the field.
Sure. So actually, this is something I've been coaching, and actually we'll talk about this a little bit later too. I've been coaching the Georgetown team this year along with Glenn Poole. And so working with those guys, I've actually been asked this question a couple times, so I'd be interested to have you weigh in on it as well, which is, what happens if a young guy says, hey, I've never played club before, I really want to try out for a very elite program, I don't think I have a lot of shot of, like, let's put a face on this, right? I don't have a shot of making a Truck Stop team, but I'm still considering going and showing up to that tryout. What would be, you know, your response to someone with that question?
So first off, I think that's great. I mean, certainly if you don't have a lot of experience yet, but are really, you know you are excited about Ultimate and want to get better, going and having a tryout as an opportunity to test yourself against elite players or the best players in the area that you can find is a great opportunity. So I definitely encourage that.
Nice.
And then second, I think, you know, in the tryout too, particularly if you don't have your heart set on making the team, but rather doing what you can do to kind of show your fire and show your commitment to grow as a player,
uh-huh.
I would work to identify those top players on the team, the players that do certain things at elite levels, top levels in the city, or in our case, the country. We've got a lot of great talent in the D.C. area, both men and women, and getting to test yourself against those players is a unique opportunity. Find a chance to mark up against them. try to, if you're defending them and, you know they like a certain kind of cut, really try to, you know, do things that will test you against, you know, the top players in the country. And I think coaches and anyone who's watching and evaluating, playing well against those top players can often stand out more than, you know, playing great and making a ton of blocks or getting open all the time against kind of middle of the pack or like fellow tryouts who are maybe, you know, have less experience.
Yeah, when you talk about the role that the other person plays, you're marking up against, you know, one of the better players on that team, and you're trying to take away their bread and butter. What do you consider your bread and butter? You know, what do you consider your role to be? You know, I think you mentioned your sideline role, but now tell me more about your field role.
Sure. The last several years, my role on the teams I've played with has been almost exclusively as a cutter on the defensive line.
Got it.
And I have, depending on personnel on the team, and this is something I've had to, you know, work on being flexible with, defending cutters, defending handlers. At different times in my career, I've had to do different things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think defensively, my goal is always to kind of, you know, make windows small and, minimize the number of times my guy touches the disc. It may seem kind of obvious, but someone who's kind of matching up against me, you know, that might be something they, something to consider. If you're at a tryout, you know someone's at one of the D-line players or has been in previous years,
yeah,
and you can, you know, find a way to match up against them and get open against them, I think that stands out a lot more than, you know, you find one of the O handlers and get open on them.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I think that's probably right. So changing the winds. Let's talk a little bit more about kind of some of the other play that's going on or will be going on as early as this weekend around the East Coast. There are opening games this weekend. I think every team now has put out a roster of some sorts. So you're for the first time going to be matching up against, you know, the Toronto Rush, the Ottawa Outlaws, the New York Empire over the next month and a half. I think those are probably three of the more watch out for teams. And obviously the Montreal Royale are always right there as well. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Phoenix might be in the middle of a down year here. But yeah, I wanted to ask you kind of, I guess first of all, are there any of those teams that stand out more in your mind as the games you've got circled on your calendar, the rivals?
Sure, that great question. And, you know, I think in many ways, as a new Breeze player, I'll be looking at kind of some of the guys who played on the teams last year to kind of give us direction on what the rivalry games are.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Brad Scott hates Philadelphia.
Okay.
Just no mercy for Brad Scott on Philadelphia. That may be entirely fictitious.
So, but it sounds like maybe if they're in a down year, this will be a good year for Brad, which would be nice, because it's so rare to see Brad smile. Maybe he can finally be in a good mood.
Yeah, finally.
So that's good to hear. Not for Philadelphia fans, but for us. But, you know, I would say, and not to sound too Belichickian here, but, you know, the big game we have circled on our calendar is April 10th. Our first game of the season against Ottawa.
Yeah,
and
they're going to be visiting down here at Gallaudet University.
So we're very excited about that, and, you know, in a lot of ways, all the preseason prep we've been doing has been very much with that game in mind.
Uh-huh. So talk to me more. So then I rattled off some teams there. It was pretty quick, and you, as a experienced guy who's played the club circuit for many years, you know, there's a lot of overlap between the Rush and Goat. There's a lot of overlap between Pony and the Empire. There's a lot of overlap between the Phoenix, not the AUDL Phoenix, rather, but there is a club team in Ottawa called the Phoenix that overlaps pretty heavily with the Outlaws. Preface this, if you've only got one game circled on your calendar and it's the next one, and Ottawa is kind of like, I think because they haven't always played in the top 16 and because they're up in Canada, they don't make it down to the States, I may have actually the more playing experience, what we were talking about before, against playing the Phoenix. I don't know, your thoughts?
No, this is exactly why I wanted to come on the podcast, Greg. I was hoping for a little scouting report and some advice about getting ready for this first game.
Oh boy, now I'm in the hot seat.
So, yeah. So
I'm going to undo a button here. This is warm. what I would say from a couple times playing the Phoenix, which I don't think has happened for 2 years at least, so maybe some stuff has changed.
Okay.
But they have particularly some big downfield guys that I love to force under because I think they were very specialized players. They were great at going up and getting it. They were great at streaking downfield and finding open space in the end zone. But I felt like for how great they were in those categories, sometimes they lacked some more of, you know, precise underthrows and ability to break the mark. So you have to kind of identify individual players.
I'm taking notes here.
Okay, good. Finding individual players' strengths and making them play out of sorts, which maybe even fits with the theme of what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, no, I think that's solid advice wherever we go, but very helpful to have that scouting report on Ottawa.
And then I think actually, so some of the guys on Ottawa that you probably do have more experience with is I think they also steal some roster from down the road, the GOAT team, and particularly Derek Alexander is one that gets a lot of airtime and talk. You know, it's the ability to take those superstars away from them.
Right.
So I don't know. So maybe let's talk about maybe a team that you are a little bit more experienced with, a team like GOAT. You know, when you think of GOAT, when you know Truck Stop had a rager of a game against them last year at Nationals. You know, how do you break down a team like GOAT, and what do you think their strengths are, and how do you take those away?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've had a number of games against GOAT over the years, and definitely, you know, playing them on the first day of Nationals last season with Truck Stop, had some time ahead to kind of prepare, look at some film. You mentioned Derek, they've got a number of great players, all of which, you know, you kind of have to account for at all times on the field. One of the things I think that stands out about GOAT is the number of different ways that they kind of are able to create space offensively. They've got some great defensive players, some great handlers, guys that really break the mark well, and obviously some excellent deep cutters. But I think one difference with GOAT is that, you know, off of pull plays or even out of flow, you know, or after a turnover, when they're setting up a play, the sets that they run are very good at kind of catching a defender in their basic algorithm of, okay, what's the space I need to defend? What's the biggest threat? And, you know, if I think my guy's kind of out of the play, where can I drift to kind of make things difficult for the offense? Finding ways to kind of catch the defense in an over-pursuit or in kind of a napping position and turn a kind of poached off a player into a very open lane with some smart clearing cuts or some smart motion.
Sure, almost like the concept of people are familiar with the zipper play, but doing that kind of all over the horizontal area of the field.
Yeah, and you'll see them come down in a horizontal stack and a split stack, a lot of different looks, and, you know, either breaking the mark off the first play or some type of motion, you know, from the handlers will change what appears to be the point of attack very quickly, and I think they are able to use that to their advantage.
Huh. So that said, then, you know, what do you do, especially as a defensive player, to avoid that, you know, to prevent that from being effective?
Right. I mean, a couple things. It certainly does keep you on your toes a little bit more, you know, compared to some other teams where, you know, they run one or two sets and they do it very well and they have, you know, they have great cutters to get open in the space. I think you kind of always have to have your eyes up and kind of never assume something is a clear cut or a cut away from you know, going into kind of a resting position.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is, I think it's a little bit of a mental adjustment, more so than other teams where, you know, it is kind of clear that they're trying to isolate one or two players and then if not, swing it around and look somewhere else.
Yeah, interesting. I think that's a good preview of certainly these first two games. The first two home games, first two games of the season are against both that Rush team that's heavily composed of GOAT guys and the Ottawa team that will come down here on the 10th. I really took notice when those last 8-9 spots were released that it feels like the Breeze just took, you know, the elite stud off of, you know, three or four of the best local college programs. And of course I'm referring to Nico Lake, Max Castle, and Kyle Johnson.
Right, right.
Do any of those guys stand out to you? Or so, I mean, what happened to tryouts? How'd you mark up on those guys?
Yeah, so again, without giving away too many secrets, I would say all three of those guys distinguished themselves in different ways at tryouts. I did, particularly in some of the bigger 7-on-7 drills that we did, mark up against Max a couple times and definitely was impressed with both his physical defense and, you know, the way he kind of, even for a college player, you know, had a great understanding of, picked up the offense very well, the principles we were trying to put in. One thing I would say about him in particular was in the drills where we were doing some deep throws to defended cutters, he really stood out. His hucks were impressive and very polished for a guy his age.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen him play some college games this year, and I think I'd agree with that. Finds his target with alarming frequency.
Right. So that was you know, I think Markham got a little jealous during some of those throws, which was interesting to see. That doesn't happen too often. And Kyle, you know, I've had a chance to play with him. You know, we've had some great practices since the roster has been set, and so I've seen him a little bit more. But he also, for a college player, really has shown a great, you know, ability to learn the offense and look at the principles and kind of be able to cut in space very well. In the system that Dutchie and the coaches are putting in. The one thing I'll say about him that I'm really hoping he'll improve on this season is he's also playing with another GW teammate, I believe, Tyler Monroe.
That's right.
Who's been an excellent player. I got to play with him on Truck Stop last year.
Yes.
And I have to admit that I've noticed them marking up against each other just a little bit during during our scrimmages, and it seems like Kyle lets Tyler push him around a little bit, and I don't know if there's some kind of big brother, little brother relationship there, but I hope Kyle can find a way to assert himself a little bit more, and I think that'll make that team better as a result.
Cool. Yeah, that's interesting. I believe that, though. I think, I don't know your college experience, but I think I had those guys on my college team.
Absolutely, and you kind of, you look up to them, and...
But when the apprentice became the master.
That's right. There's always that day, and who knows if or when Kyle will have his day, but I think, you know, it's great to have a kind of probably a collegiate teammate rivalry pushing each other and making each other better on the team.
Sure, that's interesting.
And so I want to ask you, actually.
Go. Ask me anything. AMA.
About Nico, because I've also been very impressed with him on the, you know, in the limited kind of time we've had to try out and practice together. His throws are obviously very solid, especially short handler throws, creating space and getting open. And even downfield, I think he's shown a good sense of the field and how to get open. But you and your experience at Georgetown, I'd love to hear about, you know, maybe some things we haven't seen yet from him in just a couple practices and what we should be on the lookout for.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned kind of the defining factor of these three guys is their age and the fact that they're still in college. And so amazingly, I think Nico shows the composure of someone on the field that knows the understands kind of the pace of the game and doesn't overreact to a situation. And I think that composure really helps his college team, and I think that blends in with much more seasoned guys very quickly. So I'm interested to see him integrate. And I mean, he played Breeze last year, so I guess he'll really integrate just with new players on the Breeze more so than as a professional player. So I think that always stands out about Nico. I think the point that you mentioned, that I think he really understands kind of the points of attack on a field really well.
Yeah.
And he understands that it is much easier to make a throw that he might be capable of if you were just 15 feet the other way. And he's armed with, you know, the over-the-top, the scuba, whatever it takes to get it to that place and rely on a teammate to do it. And so I think that's also, you know, recognition that a lot of players never make in their entire career. They'd rather make that throw themselves.
As a guy who, after all these years, still doesn't necessarily know exactly what he's doing while cutting, it sounds like that ability to kind of throw guys open a little bit with his creativity will be a big benefit.
Yeah,
so I think that's good to hear.
I'd agree with that. So that's, I think that's all the biggest buckets I wanted to get through today on Hot Air. Is there any public service announcement you've got? I know, you know, maybe you have some thoughts on what fans can do to really cheer you on from the sideline. I don't know. I mean, it's an open floor at this point.
Sure. No, nothing too serious. I have come out, you know, this will be my first year on the Breeze, but I've come out to some games in previous years and gotten to see what seems to be a great crowd, very supportive there at Gallaudet University. It's been great to kind of be a part of that when I have, and hearing from the Breeze players this year, the fans always, you know, bring 100% and help lift the team. So,
yeah. And actually, so this is actually a new thing that someone recommended me the other week that I'll make you be the
guinea pig
for. There we are. That's the animal I wanted, not scapegoat. The Breeze sound effect that will play at the end of this very episode is like that. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's a synthesis of like a air horn and the word Breeze. And I will attempt it, but I think I'm going to start making every guest on the podcast also attempt it. So one day there could be a compilation of players trying and largely failing to replicate the Breeze air horn.
That sounds like a great thing to do starting with your next podcast, Greg.
Yeah.
I have to agree and say that would be the best time to begin that.
Okay. So that's... And you were talking about this on our walk over here, actually, which is, you know, we need this rallying cry. So maybe fans and listeners of the Breeze podcast can also perfect their vocalization of the Breeze air horn sound effect, and that could, you know, be take the place of maybe every huck that goes up, you replicate the Breeze air horn.
Yeah, we were talking about this, and it does sound like the air horn piece would be particularly tough to replicate, but, you know, a lot of great teams have a popular rallying cry that everyone knows. We were talking about hook 'em horns or go
yeah.
Spurs go, some things that kind of tie into the team name or the city. And
it wouldn't be like, don't blow it.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be pretty poor.
There's no judgment in brainstorming, but I would have to say that that would be a tough one to hear a bunch of fans yelling and feel fired up about.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm confident that the fans are more creative than we are, and at least with some more time before April 10th, you know, if there was something witty that they could bring in.
Would you like to see your head blown up on a poster, like maybe 4 to 6 feet large and hanging in the audience?
I guess I can't say that I would expect that to make me play any better or any harder. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
And I don't know if many fans would like to see my head blown up.
I think you've got a mug to look at.
So. I appreciate that. There may be better ways to show support and urge the team on.
Okay, well, good. So we provided you with absolutely nothing here on Hot Air today other than go be creative without us.
And we eliminated some ideas.
Yeah, we've eliminated
that's progress.
Some low-hanging fruit.
Right.
Well, good. So I'm about to wrap it up. You got any last words?
No, just that I'm really excited for the season. Very excited for April 10th. My mom and dad are coming down.
It's a 1:30 game. It's a Sunday, and one of the few Sunday games. So it's a good family day.
Yeah, and so they're coming down for Maine. April in D.C. is always beautiful, and we're excited to be out and in force and put on a show for these great D.C. fans.
Well, great. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks.
Adios.